of 3-4 and 10. God is saying right now to the people of that day, they had 70 years upon this earth. And if by reason of strength, they possibly could make it to 80 years. I don't know what you think about it, but in the United States of America, the lifespan of the average person is 72 years. After 72 years, most people have left us. What does that say to us today? It says that our time is not long. In James chapter 4 and verse number 14, I want you to listen to the Lord's brother as he shares with us the brevity of life. In James chapter 4 and verse number 14, James raises the question, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little while, little time, and then vanishes away. You don't have long on this earth to live. Your life is as a vapor. It only appears for a little time, and then it's gone. I don't know how you feel about it today, but time is a precious commodity. Today comes only once. It is your day of opportunity and promise. Your days like mine are numbered. In Psalm 90 again, and verse number 12, I want you to hear this. Because God needs to teach us how to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Are you in Psalms 19 and verse number 12? The Bible says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Why apply our hearts to wisdom? Why do we need wisdom? If a man is going to live, and that is live a faithful life for God, Paul told the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What is it that gives us wisdom? The Holy Scriptures. You want to be wise today, you need to learn the Holy Scriptures. If you want to know how to apply your heart to wisdom, you need to learn the Holy Scriptures. You need to understand today that life is not long. Go over to Job chapter 14. I want to give you a few scriptures over there. Oh, don't worry about Hosea chapter 10. We'll deal a little bit with it before we finish. I just need you to hear what Job had to say. Are you in Job 14 and verse number 1? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. Did you catch what he said? Man that is born of a woman. In other words, there's no other way for you to be born. Are you paying attention? Man that comes here is a few days. His days are not long. But then in the midst of those days, they are filled with trouble. There's trouble everywhere. Somebody says, I can't seem to get away from trouble. If I leave my house, there's trouble. If I stay at my house, there's trouble. There's trouble in the schools. There's trouble everywhere you turn. Trouble is everywhere. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. Look at verse number 5. Seeing his days are determined, and the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bound that he cannot pass. Oh, what are you saying, Joel? Our days are determined. Our days are numbered. You can't get away from what God says. I don't care how hard you try. Your days are numbered. All of us today need to understand, when it comes down to life, it is not long on this earth. That's why we have to do something for God today. Tomorrow is not promised. But if we die with Christ, those days that are now numbered, those months that are now numbered, those years that are now numbered, when we die in Christ, it will turn into eternity. There will never be a time again when this life is over. As we die with Christ, that our days will be limited. In eternity, we shall live forever with Christ and our Father. So Joel raised a question in chapter 14 and verse 14. Listen to the question. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Now notice Joel. Joel asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? Well, the only person that can answer that question is Jesus. If a man die, shall he live again? You remember in John, there was a man named Lazarus, had two sisters, Mary and Martha. One day Lazarus died. I'm going to John 11. One day Lazarus died. Mary came to him. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother, our brother, would not have died. Martha came to him. Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. But notice Jesus. John 11, verse 40, 25. Watch Jesus. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he ever live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Job's question was answered by Jesus. If a man die, shall he live again? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Am I correct about it? I want the world to know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So if you die with Jesus, you will live again. You will be resurrected if you die with the Lord. So Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. I need you to hear this. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. Jesus takes care of his friends. After Mary and Martha had raised the question, all Jesus wanted to know, where have you laid him? And then in verse 43, Jesus said unto him, watch this. Jesus said unto him, Lazarus, come forth. So what did Lazarus do? Lazarus got up from the dead. You need to understand, if you are a friend of Jesus. Now, I know Lazarus got up, but he died again. But in the resurrection, when we get up, we'll never die again. Now, I need you to see something, because there are three things in this lesson that you need to see. And I maintain, when we raise the question, what time is it? The first thing you need to see is time to seek the Lord. That's number one. If you want to know what time is it, I'm going to tell you it's time to seek the Lord. Number two, what time is it? It is time for you to search the scriptures. You want to know what time it is? It's time for you to search the scriptures. So when I ask today, what time is it? I want you to understand, number one, it's time to seek the Lord. Number two, it's time to search the scriptures. And number three, now this one is very important. If you want to know what time it is time for you to submit to the Savior. Now listen to me. It won't help you if you seek the Lord and search the scriptures but fail to submit to the Savior. It won't help you if you search the scriptures and fail to submit to the Savior. It won't help you if you seek the Lord and fail to submit to the Savior. Now watch this. Hosea, what time is it? Hosea said, break up your fallow ground. Now what does that mean? In other words, Hosea is telling the people, it's time for you to plow. What does it mean to plow? Well, it's time to dig up. Your heart has been hardened. Only God's word can plow your heart. Only God's word can break up your hardened heart. So if you let his word come in, he'll break up your hardened heart. It's time for you to seek the Lord. Well, now, how may I seek the Lord? Let me tell you how to seek the Lord. But before I do that, there was a poet who said, there is only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. First of all, I can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give an account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Listen, time is neutral. Time is not for you or against you. Time is just time. Time doesn't care what you do with it. You can use it or abuse it. Time doesn't care. So what should we do? We should take advantage of the time that we have right now. Well, what should we do with the time that we have right now? The first thing we ought to do is seek the Lord. Somebody ought to come with me. Isaiah 55, verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6. We need to do something today. Everybody in here needs to seek the Lord. Are you in Isaiah 55, verse number 6? The Bible says, seek ye the Lord Why? He is near. Isn't that in your Bible? Call upon him while he is not. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. What are you telling us, Isaiah? It's time for the people to seek the Lord. That's just not for Isaiah's day. It wasn't just for Hosea's day. Well, watch this. I want you to come over to Amos chapter 5, verse number 6. Amos chapter 5. You all don't mind me using all of these scriptures, do you? You see, I need you to go home with something. I need to put something in you today. So when you get home tonight, you still have something in you. You need the Word of God in you. So if somebody asks you, what did the preacher talk about? You can leave here and tell them exactly what I talked about. And if they ask you, what scriptures did he use? You can leave here and tell them that I use the scriptures. I'm not up in here to talk about what I think, how I feel. Oh no, we are in here to speak from the Word of God. Are you in Amos chapter 5, the first part of verse 6? The Bible says, speak. Isn't that in your Bible? The Lord and ye shall what? If you want to live, what do you need to do? You need to seek the Lord. Every person that's not seeking the Lord is dead. Every person that is not trying to serve God is dead. If you want to live, you need to do something. You need to seek the Lord. Now, I know there are three deaths. There's physical death, there's spiritual death, and there's the second death. Are you paying attention? A lot of folk are living, but they are dead. 1 Timothy 5, verse number 8. I want to show you. A lot of folk are living, but they are dead. Well, how can they live and be dead at the same time? You can be alive physically and dead spiritually. Are you in 1 Timothy? Chapter 5, verse number 6. Your Bible says, for she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Now what is she? She's dead. Why is she dead? She's living in pleasure. What's significant about living in pleasure? Sin only lasts. The pleasure of sin only lasts for a season. Am I correct about it? All I'm telling you, anybody that's physically alive and dead, that person is separated from God. Dead spiritually, but alive physically. What I'm telling you today, you need to seek the Lord. Well, come over. Zephaniah. And I know we haven't used these books in a while, but Zephaniah. You can find it if you have to go to the beginning of your Bible and find what page number is on. It's in there. Are you listening? Zephaniah chapter 2. I'm looking at verse number 3. What are we trying to find out? We're trying to find out what time is it. We're trying to find out what time is it? When we find out what time is it, then we need to go searching. When we find out what time is it, and after we search, we need to submit. So what time is it? It's time to seek the Lord. Are you in Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3? The Bible says, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. Now notice, if you are not meek, most likely you won't seek the Lord. If you are haughty and high-minded, most likely you won't seek the Lord. But if you're humble, I believe you'll seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord, all ye humble or meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek meekness. Am I correct about it? All I want you to do is seek the Lord. When? Seek him right now. One more scripture on this idea of seeking. Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 21. I think this is enough on seeking. What about you? Haven't we seen enough? Look at this verse. Zechariah 8, verse 21. And the inhabitants of one of the cities shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. Am I correct about it? All I'm saying to you, it's time to seek the Lord. Don't fool yourself. If you are not willing to read your Bible, you are not willing to study your Bible, if you are not willing to spend time in your Bible, then you are not going to seek the Lord. Now, I'm not boasting, but that was a time when I read the Bible 12 to 14 hours every day. I would read the New Testament every 2 weeks. You may ask, why are you reading the Bible so much? I'm trying to seek the Lord. I'm looking for the Lord. When I grew up, I didn't grow up going to church. I can count the times I went to church on one hand, from 5 years to 21 years of age. I didn't go to church. I say I did not go to church. But once I started reading this book, I fell in love with the book. Oh, I had a lot of troubles in my younger days, but I thank God that I learned how to read. I thank God I fell in love with reading the Bible. And I tell any young man, if you want to be a preacher of the gospel, you must have a desire for reading. If you don't like reading, then you need to go do something else. Preaching is not for you. Are you paying attention? Every now and then, I have to help young men because they want to preach, but they don't want to read. You can't preach if you don't want to read, because what you preach comes from what you read. Am I correct about it? Well, if you're going to seek the Lord, how should you seek it? Go over to Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16. If you're going to seek the Lord, I want to know how will you seek him. A lot of folk are going to human literature trying to seek Jesus. A lot of people are reading church manuals, disciplines, catechisms, and all of that stuff, trying to seek the Lord. Well, if you're going to seek the Lord, you ought to seek what the Lord has given. Are you in Isaiah 34? Verse 16. Your Bible says, but seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, neither shall one her mate. I'm telling you, if you speak out of the book of the Lord and read, you don't have to worry about his word failing you. His word is not going to fail you. That was a man. As a boy, his mother told him, baby, the Bible will get you out of trouble. Stand on the Bible. I don't care what you do in life. Remember, stand on the Bible. And one day, this old boy grew to be a man. got a whole lot of money, got rich, built him a big old house. And one day, he and his son were down in the basement. And all of a sudden, his house caught a fire. And he didn't know what to do. Down in the basement, he saw the window. But man, he could not reach the window. So he grabbed a chair, put the chair up to the window, stood in the chair, but he stood pulling the chair up by the wall to get up to the window. Man, he stood in the chair, couldn't reach the window. He looked over and he saw a plank, a 2x4 that they didn't use. He put the plank on the chair, stood on the plank, but he still couldn't reach the window. He saw a brick that they didn't use. He put the brick on the plank, on the chair, against the wall, but he still couldn't reach the window. And all he could think of was what his mama told him. Just remember, the Bible will get you out of trouble. He looked over there and saw that big old family Bible. Put that Bible on that brick, on the plank, on the chair. Stood on that Bible. Reached that window. Got out of the window. Safe and sound. Now I want you to hear this. That was not what his mama meant. Are you listening? She didn't mean it that way. But it helped him anyway. She was trying to tell him, get the Bible, follow the Bible. When you get in trouble, do what it says, and it'll get you out. But thank God, he never forgot his Bible. So what do you want to do? Go to Acts chapter 17, verse 11. I want to help us today to search the scriptures. We've already gone on the journey seeking the Lord. How are we going to seek it? We're going to seek him out of the book of the Lord. Are you in Acts 17, verse 11? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, how often did they search the scriptures? They searched the scriptures daily. Back up, John 5, verse 39. I'm just trying to help us to do what God wants us to do. Seek him and search after him. Search after him in, through, from the scriptures. Are you in John 5? Verse 39, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. For they are they which testify of me. If you want to witness, if you want to witness, the scriptures serve as a witness for Jesus. The scriptures testify of Jesus. Jesus told these people, search the scriptures. For in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. Now watch this. The scriptures, yes, will give us life. But we must obey the scriptures. The problem these people had, they would search and look, but they would not apply. They wouldn't apply the scriptures. And as a result, they didn't have Jesus. A lot of people are searching. A lot of people are reading. A lot of people are in their Bible, but they are not applying what the Bible says. So what does that mean? That means when we find out what God says, we ought to obey Him. I said we ought to obey Him. If we are not willing to obey Him, we are not willing to live. If we want to live, we must obey Him. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8 and verse number 9. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. I just need you to look in the book. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the thing which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now who is he the author of eternal salvation of? All them that obey him. If we don't obey him, he's not the author of our salvation. We must obey him. Not some preacher, not some bishop, not some big pastor, not some so-called holy reverend, not some big papa pope. We have to obey Jesus. Are you all ready for this? What are we doing? Seeking the Lord. What are we doing? Searching the scripture. Now what is it time to do? Submit to the Savior. Oh, I know you all thought I was going to preach a long time. Well, honey, when you make it plain, you don't have to preach long. When you make it plain, people can see it. We were in a Bible study Thursday night. A gentleman was sitting there, and I said to him, I said, sir, you see this bottle right here? He said, yes, I do. I said, the label on the outside will tell you the contents of this bottle on the inside. And I want you to catch it. He said, say it again. I said, the label on the outside will tell you the contents of this bottle on the inside. Now, whatever the label says on the outside, that's what's on the inside. Listen, if you went to the store and bought some green beans, these beans are in a can. On the can, the label says green beans. Now, you don't expect to get home, and when you open that can, you have some squash in that can. Isn't that right? Now, what are you looking for in that can? Green bean. Why? The label on the outside says that green bean ought to be on the inside. The reason why a lot of people today are rejecting the Church of Christ is because they fail to read the label. I'm going to help you with it. If you are going to submit to the Savior, then you need to understand what the Savior has done. Well, before you get carried away, I want you to know in Matthew 1, verse 21, Muhammad is not the Savior. I want you to know Buddha is not the Savior. Confucius is not the Savior. I need you to know Louis Farrakhan is not the Savior. He may claim to be a Savior, but he's not the Savior. Matthew 1, 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Who will save his people from their sins? Jesus is the Savior. 1 John 4, verse 14. I need you to see this. 1 John 4, verse 15. I'm sorry, verse 14. So many folk get in trouble. Listen. And we have seen him and do testify that the Savior sent the Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to be the Savior of the world. Did you catch it? We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Who is the Savior? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now the question is, if Jesus Christ is the Savior, what is he the Savior of? I need to talk to you. Don't rush me now, because I said I won't be too long, but don't rush me. I need to talk to you. He's the Savior, but what is he the Savior of? Go over to Ephesians 5, verse 25. Let's see. Go up to verse 23. Let's see what he is the Savior of. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, what is he the Savior of? He's the Savior of the body. Now, the question is, if he's the Savior of the body, what is the body? If he's the Savior of the body, what is the body? Go back to Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. I'm not teaching anything that's new. Let me tell you what they say about new stuff. They say, if it is new, it is not true. And if it is true, it is not new. So I don't have any new stuff. All of my stuff can be read. Why? In the book of the law. Are you in Ephesians 1, 22? And has put all things under his feet and gave him, that is Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What is the church? The body. What you think the body is? Well, let me prove it to you. The church is the body. In Colossians 1, verse 18, the body is the church. I said the church is the body. And the body is the church. Are you in Colossians 1, verse 18? And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, what is the body? The church. Look at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in his flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. What is the body? The church. What is the church? The body. What is he the Savior of? The body. What is the church? The body. If he's the Savior of the body, and the body is the church, he's the Savior of the church. Now, if Christ is the Savior of the church, then you need to know which church he's the Savior of. I know Paul says in verse 24, Colossians 1, who now rejoices in my suffering and fill up that of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. I know the body is the church, but the question is, which church? Somebody asked me, well, I want to know which church is Christ the Savior of. Come to Acts 2. I think I can answer it at verse 47. Which church is Christ the Savior of? Are you in Acts 2, verse 47? Now watch this. Are you there? The Bible said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now you want to know which church? Let me ask you a question. Which church was back then? See, that's the simple way of answering it. It could not have been the Catholic Church. It wasn't back then. It could not have been the Greek Orthodox Church. It wasn't back then. It could not have been any denomination that we see here in Kingston. They were not back then. The only church that was back there was the church, the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the one Christ died for. Which one? There wasn't but one. You see, the arguments that we make today, they didn't have to make those arguments back then. You know why they didn't make those arguments back then? Because your preacher said it was only one. And I agree with your preacher. I approve that message. Are you listening? Which church does he say? The very one he died for. Which one is he coming back for? The very one he gave himself for. You remember Ephesians 5:25, husband love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What did he give himself for? The church. What did he die for? The church. Yes, I'm about finished. So I want to tell you something. When it comes down to what time is it? It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to search the scriptures. And it's time to submit to the Savior. Now watch this. When I look at submit, that means to yield one's authority to. It means to give up what you have for the authority of another. Now when you are out there driving, in the States, we have a sign that says yield. Now, what that means, you don't have a right of way. What that means, you just can't run out there in the street when you see this sign that says yield. Because the oncoming traffic, it has the right to go. Now, you have the right to go. But you have to wait until they have gone. Are you listening? Now, if you just run out there and hit somebody, guess who's at fault? You're at fault. Why? Because you failed to yield. Now, spiritually, a lot of folk are wrecking. You know why they're in a wreck? Because they failed to yield to Christ in Romans 6 and verse 16. I just want you all to hear this. I'm almost finished for real. I'm almost finished. Are you in Romans 6? Verse 16. Know you not that to whom ye yield yourselves to obey, His servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Watch this. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Notice that form of doctrine. What was that form of doctrine? Paul said, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Let me show you what the Romans did, and then I'll take my seat. The first thing they did was heard the gospel. Romans 10, verse 17, and all of these verses will be in Romans. So you don't have to go anywhere. This is called context. And you don't have to leave Romans. It's a book of context. So don't go anywhere. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what did the Romans do? They heard the word of God. Had faith. Romans 1, 16. Watch what they did. Listen to your Bible. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks. So what did the Romans do after they heard? They believed what they heard. Well, watch the Romans. In Romans 2, verse number 4, let's see what the Romans did. Notice, or despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What did God's goodness lead them? To repentance. The Romans heard the gospel. The Romans believed the gospel. And the Romans repented. What else did they do? Romans 10, 9 and 10. Watch the Romans. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now notice the Romans confessed. Now later on in the week, I'm going to break this text down. I'm not going to break it down today unless you tell me you need it. But I'm going to break it down later. But I want you to know right now, every person that comes to Jesus must confess that he's the Son of God. Amen. Now upon this confession, the Romans heard, the Romans believed, the Romans repented, the Romans confessed. But watch Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now watch. Later on, Paul said, they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Well, what was that form of doctrine? First of all, Jesus died. Amen. Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we are buried with him. Amen. Jesus was buried. Amen. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Notice, he was raised as resurrected First of all, he died. Secondly, he was buried. Thirdly, he was raised from the dead. When you obey God, after hearing, believing, repenting, and confessing, you die to sin. You're buried in water, and you're raised to walk in newness of life. What is that form of doctrine? It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Well, how do you obey that form of doctrine? By being baptized. When you get baptized, you become free from sin. When you get baptized, you submit it to the Savior. After searching and seeking for the Lord. So what time is it? I maintain it's time for every Jamaican to seek the Lord. It's time for every Jamaican to search the Scriptures. And it's time for every Jamaican to submit to the Savior. It's time for every American to seek the Lord. It's time for every American to search the Scriptures. And it's time for every American to submit to the Savior. It's time for the whole world to seek the Lord. It's time for the whole world to search the Scriptures. And it's time for the whole world to submit to the Savior. So after today, the next time somebody asks you, what time is it? Don't look at your watch and say it's 12:20. No, it's time to seek the Lord. What time is it? It's time to search the Scriptures. What time is it? It's time to submit to the Savior. Don't tell them it's 12. What time is it? Don't tell them it's 2 o'clock. What time is it? Don't tell them it's 6 o'clock. Tell them it's time. Seek the Lord. Search the Scriptures. And submit to the Savior. And I'm just wondering how many of y'all are going to really do this week. Oh, most likely somebody's going to ask you what time it is. So while I'm here this week, if anybody ever asks you what time it is, come and report it. Tell me what you told them. I want to know. Thank God Jesus died. I feel like preaching another sermon. What do you want? What is your life? Isn't it as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? The only time you have is right now. No other time but right now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you want it? You can have it. We're going to sing a song that we call the Savior's Invitation. And that song simply says, come on up. We're inviting you. Jesus is inviting you to come to Him. You remember He said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest for yourself.